This recording, England 13, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah was a nurse who'd been working in the newest area of the territory. She was very happy to start another new job, this time in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. On her first morning, she washed her face, put on a plain white dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah a letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising, because normally you would only expect to see it in a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the bird. The goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it took some force to trap her. But Sarah managed by gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm and singing to her. Her efforts were not futile. Very soon, Comma began to tire, and Sarah gave her a relaxing bath, washed her, and laid her on a cloth for diagnosis. Almost immediately, Sarah remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. The treatment was very expensive, but Mrs. Harrison, millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. It was about 10 years ago when I moved down here from Newcastle, and I'd lived in Newcastle for 33 years at the time. Lived with my mum and dad and then left and went to university, so I was Newcastle born and bred, really. And when we got the opportunity to move down here, it was actually quite scary, you know, having lived there for such a long time. But there we were, travelling down on the M62 and this whole new place, you know, with a very small baby. And I arrived here and set about making a new life down here in the Northwest. So it was all quite odd, really, because I left a very extended family, you know, lots and lots of brothers, my brother's family, the big family around him, aunties, all those, and they're all still there, so I go back quite often. But I think since I moved down here, really, apart from making a new home, making a new life, and having two kids who've now grown up as Scouse kids, very strong Scouse accents, one of the things that I miss most, really, is my accent, because I think I have become quite a posh Geordie in lots of ways. And I think I've lost the edge. I think the intonation's still there. When I go home, of course, I fall back into the old patterns. And as I say, I do go back probably once a month. But it's quite odd, really, feeling a bit of an exile, albeit only 200 miles across the country. I do feel exiled from my home. It sounds very strange. And there are lots of times when I think, gosh, it'd be nice to go back. I'd love to go home again. I'd love to live back there. But I don't think I ever will now. I think it's gone too long. So here I am, and enjoy my life. I enjoy my job. I enjoy, you know, my friends and the kind of people that I've gathered around over the 10 years that I've lived around down here. So it's a good life.